Welcome to Business English. Bienvenue à notre émission consacrée à l'anglais commercial aux États-Unis. Dans ce programme, vous participerez à des voyages d'affaires, à des conversations téléphoniques, à l'échange de messages e-mail et à des interviews. Au micro, Michel Joseph. What time does the show start? À quelle heure commence le spectacle? Une question essentielle, un outil qui sert à organiser les rencontres personnelles et professionnelles. What time is the meeting? What time is the interview? What time is the dinner? What time is the conference?
What time do the shows usually start?
En fait, c'est une façon très américaine de raccourcir la phrase. Grammaticalement, on devrait commencer la question par la préposition at. At what time does the show start? At what time is the meeting? At what time is the interview? Ici, Kathy va poser la question au sujet de plusieurs spectacles et de l'heure à laquelle ils commencent d'habitude. What time do the shows usually start?
What time do the shows usually start?
Usually, d'habitude ou en général.
What time do the shows usually start?
They usually start at 2 o'clock.
And when do they end?
They usually end at around 5 o'clock.
Si vous posez la question, when does it start? Ou au pluriel, when do they start? When does it start? It remplace le mot show, spectacle, au singulier. Par exemple, when does the meeting start? When does it start? Dans la phrase que vous venez d'entendre, shows, spectacle, est remplacé par le pronom au pluriel, they. Si on pose la question, when does it start? Quand est-ce que ça commence? Ou au pluriel, when do they start? Il vous faudra forcément demander aussi quand est-ce que le programme finira. When does it end? Au pluriel, when do they end? When does the meeting start? When does the meeting end? When does the conference start? When does the conference end? Écoutez.
The train to Washington leaves at 7.
When do you get back to Washington?
We arrive in Washington around 11.
That's a long day.
It is, but we love going to shows. They're wonderful.
Puisque Pat Miller se rend à New York régulièrement en une journée, la question qu'on lui demande alors est when do you get back?
When do you get back to Washington?
Quand allez-vous revenir? To get back, revenir, rentrer. Écoutez et répétez à haute voix.
Listen and repeat. 11 o'clock. The train arrives in New York at 11 o'clock. Two o'clock. The shows usually start at 2 o'clock. Five o'clock. The shows usually end at around 5 o'clock. Seven o'clock. The train leaves New York at 7 o'clock. 11 o'clock. The train arrives in Washington at 11 o'clock. 11.
Rapprochons-nous de la gare. Allons au guichet pour acheter un billet. Dans le dialogue, vous entendrez I'd like a ticket. J'aimerais, sous-entendu, acheter un billet. En fait, c'est la contraction. I would like a ticket.
I'd like a ticket to Denver.
I'd like a ticket. Dans laquelle il est impliqué que la personne veut acheter un billet. I would like to buy a ticket. Aux États-Unis, on simplifie. I'd like a ticket. Écoutez.
Listen to the conversation.
Can I help you?
Yes, I'd like a ticket to Denver.
One way or round trip?
Round trip, please.
One moment, please. The next train leaves at 10:30. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine.
That'll be $60.
60 or 16?
60. 60.
En vendant le billet, le préposé a demandé, one way or round trip?
One way or round trip?
One way, aller simple. Round trip, aller-retour. Écoutez de nouveau et répétez.
Listen and repeat.
The next train leaves at 10:30. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine.
That'll be $60.
60 or 16?
60. 60.
Et c'est tout pour cette leçon de Business English, l'anglais commercial. That's it for today. Until next time, à la prochaine fois. English USA vous présente African Voices in Conversation, des conversations en anglais qui ont attrait à la vie quotidienne au Sénégal. C'est un officier des douanes qui va bientôt à la retraite. Pendant des années, il a vu un homme traverser la frontière à bicyclette, un grand sac derrière lui. Perplexe, il veut percer le mystère du grand sac à l'arrière du vélo. Écoutons leur conversation. Vous répondrez vrai ou faux, true or false, à ces deux énoncés. 1. L'officier des douanes voulait savoir ce que l'homme à la bicyclette cachait dans le gros sac. 2. L'homme à la bicyclette trafiquait les marchandises contenues dans le grand sac. Vous allez ensuite répondre à ces trois questions. 1. Qu'est-ce que l'homme à la bicyclette transportait dans le gros sac? 2. Que trafiquait-il en réalité? 3. Pourquoi les achetait-il à Bantuka? Vous apprendrez enfin comment utiliser en anglais le present perfect.
Stop, old man. Get down off your bicycle.
Hello again, officer.
I have seen you crossing this border for years.
And I've seen you standing at the border, stopping me every time and asking me to get down for years.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Bantuka. I have relatives on the other side of the border.
What is in the big bag today?
I bought some presents for my people, plus some newspapers, some old clothes, old shoes.
Every time I have checked inside the big bag, you carry on your bicycle. Every time, nothing.
And every time, I haven't given you the same answer.
Is that the truth? You're not smuggling anything?
Of course it's the truth. I'm not smuggling anything in my bag.
Come on, old man. I just know you're a smuggler. I'm about to retire. Can you please tell me the whole truth?
You really haven't noticed yet?
No. What have you been smuggling all this time?
Bicycles. They are cheaper in Bantuka. I cross the border with an old bicycle, buy a new one in Bantuka, and ride it back to the big city to sell it there.
Ya Allah! How could I not notice that?
Easy. You only notice the big bag.
Sorry, old man. Now I know your smuggling strategy. Give me the bicycle.
No, I'm sorry, officer. This is my old bicycle.
Vous avez entendu l'officier des douanes et le vieil homme. L'énoncé 1 est vrai. L'officier des douanes voulait savoir ce que l'homme à la bicyclette cachait dans le gros sac. L'énoncé 2 est faux. L'homme à la bicyclette trafiquait les marchandises contenues dans le grand sac. Voilà les réponses aux questions. 1. Qu'est-ce que l'homme à la bicyclette transportait dans le gros sac? Des cadeaux, des journaux, de vieux habits et de vieilles chaussures. 2. Que trafiquait-il en réalité? Des bicyclettes. 3. Pourquoi les achetait-il à Bantuka? Parce qu'elles coûtent moins cher à Bantuka. Écoutez et répétez ces phrases que vous avez entendues dans la conversation.
I've seen you crossing this border for years.
I've seen you standing at the border.
I have checked inside the big bag.
I bought some presents.
Ces phrases sont au present perfect. Elles expriment des actions passées qui ont un lien avec le présent. On forme le present perfect en conjuguant l'auxiliaire to have au présent suivi du participe passé du verbe. Voilà d'autres exemples. He has caught the old man. The villagers have sold bicycles. We haven't heard the music. Vous avez suivi la conversation entre l'officier des douanes et le vieil homme. Vous avez découvert le mystère du grand sac, ou plutôt celui de la bicyclette. Et vous savez utiliser le present perfect, n'est-ce pas? Pour plus de renseignements au sujet des cours d'anglais, Learning English, allez au site internet suivant à americanenglish.state.gov ou à voalearningenglish.com. Au cours de cette leçon, vous apprendrez à donner votre adresse et l'adresse de votre lieu de travail en anglais. Bien sûr, il faudra aussi apprendre à compter. English USA est diffusé en direct de Washington au micro Michel Joseph. Aujourd'hui, Martin Lerner est témoin d'un accident. Lui et d'autres témoins doivent donner leur nom à un agent de police. Quelques mots pour vous mettre en route. A policeman, un agent de police. What happened? Qu'est-ce qui s'est passé? It happened so fast. C'est arrivé si vite. Move, circuler. What's the address? Quelle est l'adresse? Where do you live? Où habitez-vous? Where do you work? Où travaillez-vous? I want your name and address. Je veux votre nom et adresse.
Look out!
Did you see that?
What happened? Was anyone hurt?
Where did he come from?
All right. Stand back. Move. Stand back.
Who are you?
I'm a policeman. Did you see the accident?
Yes,
well,
sure,
I did.
Well,
I was in right here.
I want your names and addresses, okay? Who are you?
I am Paula Roberts.
Where do you live?
I live at 55 Georgia Street.
Where do you work?
I work at Jensen's.
What is the address?
307 California Street.
Thanks. Okay. Who are you?
I'm Martin Lerner. I'm a reporter.
Where do you live?
I live in Baltimore.
Where do you live in Baltimore?
I live at 1427 Grant Street.
Okay. Who are you?
I'm Nancy Kim.
Where do you live?
I live at 16 Carter Street.
Where do you work?
I work at the Arizona Hotel.
What is the address?
The address is 1080 Arizona Street.
Good. Now, who are you?
I'm Alexander Makrakis.
Please spell it for me.
M-A-C-R-A-K-I-S.
Where do you live?
I live in Chicago.
Where do you live in Chicago?
I live at 938 North Florida Street.
Where do you work?
I'm a student.
Where are you a student?
At the Mills Institute of Technology.
Écoutons encore une partie de cette conversation. Écoutez attentivement.
Where do you live?
I live at 55 Georgia Street.
Where do you live?
I live at 1427 Grant Street.
Where do you live?
I live at 16 Carter Street.
Where do you live?
I live at 938 North Florida Street.
Pouvez-vous dire ça maintenant? Répondez à cette question. Where do you live? Ce n'est pas trop difficile. Donnez le numéro de votre immeuble, le numéro de votre appartement, le nom de votre rue ou tout autre renseignement.
Where do you live?
I live at 55 Georgia Street.
Where do you live?
I live at 1427 Grant Street.
Where do you live?
I live at 16 Carter Street.
Where do you live?
À la question Where do you live? Où habitez-vous? On répond d'habitude par une adresse précise. Par exemple, at 938 Florida Street. C'est-à-dire 938 Florida Street. Donc, dans ces cas-là, vous pouvez séparer chaque chiffre. Ou bien, vous pouvez donner le nom d'une ville, d'un État ou d'une région. Par exemple, in Chicago, in New England, in California. À Chicago, en Nouvelle-Angleterre, en Californie.
Good afternoon, officer.
Good afternoon, Lieutenant.
Who are these people?
I have names and addresses, Lieutenant.
I want to ask some questions. Excuse me, where are you from?
I'm from Chicago.
What do you do?
I'm a student.
Okay. Who are you?
I'm Nancy Kim.
Where do you live?
I live at 16 Carter Street.
You please. Where are you from?
I'm from Baltimore.
Look out.
Okay, okay, move along.
Step aside. Watch your step.
Révision. Vocabulaire. Accident. Accident. Address. Adresse. Building. Bâtiment. Lawyer. Avocat. Policeman. Agent de police. Street. Rue. Accountant. Comptable. Coffee shop, café. Computer, ordinateur. People, par exemple, these people. People, des gens. Question, question. Telephone, téléphone. Et verbe. Ask, demander. Want, vouloir. Like, aimer. Answer, répondre. Have, avoir. See, voir. Know, savoir ou connaître. Les prépositions, en général pour indiquer le lieu. At, à. Par exemple, dans la phrase, I'm at the coffee shop. I'm at the coffee shop. Je suis au café.
quelques expressions. Stand back, reculer. Move along, circuler. Look out, faites attention. Step aside, dégagez. It happened so fast. C'est arrivé si vite. What happened? Qu'est-ce qui s'est passé? Qu'est-ce qui est arrivé? Thank you. Merci. That's all right. No trouble. Je vous en prie. Pour les nombres, si vous ne savez pas compter, répétez à haute voix. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Et à ce moment-là, vous ajoutez à 20, c'est-à-dire 20, 21, 22, 23, et ainsi de suite jusqu'à 30, 30. 31, 32, et ainsi de suite jusqu'à 40. 41, 42, 43, et ainsi de suite jusqu'à 50, 50.
He's Martin.
Martin Lerner.
What do you do?
I'm a reporter. What do you do?
I'm a lawyer.
Where are you from?
Here. I live here.
I live here, too. He lives in Chicago, and he lives in Baltimore.
Let's see. You're Alexander, you're Nancy, and you're Martin.
Wonderful.
But the telephone, where is the telephone?
Go straight ahead. Turn left on Michigan Street, then go to the coffee shop.
Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.
Écoutez quelques questions et réponses. Ensuite, essayez vous-même de répondre à ces questions.
Where do you live?
I live at 16 Carter Street.
Where do you live?
I live at 938 North Florida Street.
Where do you live?
I live at 55 Georgia Street.
Maintenant, essayez de répondre. Donnez votre adresse en anglais. Commencez par I live.
I live at 1427 Grant Street. Where do you live?
I live at 55 Georgia Street. Where do you live?
Écoutons une autre partie de cette conversation. Cette fois-ci, cela a à voir avec qui vous êtes. Who are you?
Who are you?
I'm Paula Roberts.
Who are you?
I'm Martin Lerner.
Who are you?
I'm Nancy Kim.
Who are you?
I'm Alexander Makrakis.
Pouvez-vous répondre à cette question maintenant? Je pense que oui. Allez, répondez.
Who are you?
I'm Martin Lerner. Who are you?
I'm Nancy Kim. Who are you?
I'm Alexander Makrakis. Who are you?
Thank you for your time.
That's
no
all
trouble.
Right.
Glad to
Don't
help.
Mention it. Well, goodbye, Alexander. Goodbye, Nancy.
Goodbye, Mr. Lerner.
Bye, Martin.
Nancy?
Yes?
Please call me Alex.
Okay, Alex.
Where do you work, Nancy?
I work at the Arizona Hotel.
Where is the Arizona Hotel?
Straight ahead. Do you see that tall glass building? That's the Arizona Hotel.
Au cours de cette leçon, vous avez appris quelques expressions utiles pour fournir un renseignement voulu. À la prochaine fois! Welcome to Anglais Télé. Bienvenue à Anglais Télé. My name is Michelle Joseph, and I have a guest with me today.
Je suis Daniel Burton. Bienvenue, Michelle, aussi.
Enchanté. Welcome. We're happy to have you, Dan.
Merci.
And we are going to look at how words can be changed either by putting a prefix. That means a few words
or
in
a
front,
suffix.
Or a suffix, word, a few little letters after a
word. I learned that when I was in grade school.
Oh, good for you.
Prefix and suffix.
Right, so prefix is a few letters before a word, and suffix is a few letters after a word.
Yeah, well.
And these suffix and prefix add meaning to words, right, Dan?
They do, yes.
And it can change
And they make
everything.
The words move, too.
Oh, move, dynamic.
Yeah, right.
That's what we're about.
You can change a noun into a verb.
Right.
Suffix.
Absolutely.
Right.
Okay, that's a bit complicated. But
like run and running.
Oh, yeah. But we're
okay,
going to look at...
We won't do that. No.
We're not doing that one right now.
Okay.
But we're going to look at prefixes that all of you have heard, I'm sure. We can follow that up with ab, like something that's abnormal. That's nearly like... You can't say anormal.
No.
In French, you can. Anormal, c'est anormal, actually. But in English, they'll say ab, which means it's away from, it's also distinct from. So,
not like abstain.
Or so abstain.
Or you put yourself away from doing something that you want not to do or somebody doesn't want you to do or wants you to do.
So you abstain.
You say, I'm going to abstain from that.
Or to abduct someone, abduct, you're taking that person and moving them to another place. Like
in Congress, they abstain all the time. When our Congress in this country votes for a law, there's a yay note, a vote, and a nay vote, yes and no. And then there's a lot of senators or congressmen who will say, I'm abstaining from that vote.
Right.
It means I don't want any part of it. I'm not going to vote for anything, yes or no.
Right.
And that's to abstain.
So ab, when you're adding ab, the suffix ab, you're staying away from that particular
issue.
Issue.
Absolutely away.
Absolutely away.
Yeah, away.
Okay. And how about ambi? Ambi, it reminds me of the bi that we saw earlier.
Right.
Ambi means both at the same time. Like
ambidextrous. Right.
My dad is ambidextrous.
I wish I was.
That means you can use your right hand and left hand, both of them comfortably. I have a son who's kind of like
that. You can play baseball with this way or this way.
Right.
You can golf this way or that way.
So ambidextrous,
right?
And or ambivalent. So you have the both ideas, and you're not sure, and so you're ambivalent.
And so you don't really want to make any rush into any decision at
right,
all.
Right, no commitment
no,
at all.
That's it. It means no commitment.
Because you're in the middle. You're right. À cheval, as they say in French.
Exactly.
À cheval. So your legs are on both sides of the issue, and...
And you're not anywhere.
Exactly. Ooh, ambivalent.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to dis. Dis, which means to go apart. So to disengage, you know, just like I think the troops in certain countries, the U.S. troops are disengaging.
They're coming home.
They're breaking apart. They're moving away from, yeah. So, or for example, if a lady is engaged to a gentleman and they break that engagement... they don't say I'm disengaged.
They don't say disengaged, no.
I'm disengaged.
They say I'm not engaged
I'm
anymore.
No longer
engaged.
But basically to part, or let's say discomfort, that's another one, discomfort.
Well, being unengaged might cause discomfort, too.
Yes, right.
Right.
If you hear Dan with his puns, that's quite
right.
Good. So
okay.
Disengagement, discomfort. So discord, if people don't get along, that's discord.
Another reason they probably aren't engaged anymore, because there was discord
right.
In the relationship.
Actually, it all links, doesn't it?
Fighting, yeah, they were fighting in the relationship. They got unengaged because that caused them a lot of discomfort.
Absolutely, and they had a lot of discord also.
Right.
Okay, so this, and we've all understood this.
Right.
Okay, so let's end with that one, and we'll see shortly for another little lesson on suffixes.